Chapter 47, Zahara's Game. Melissa stood near the wall, her bare feet shifting on the rough floor. Zahara stood by the door, arms crossed, her athletic body tense with energy. The room was quiet for a moment, then Zahara spoke, her voice firm and sharp. "Kneel," she said. Melissa frowned, a spark of resistance flaring inside her, but she obeyed. Her knees bent slowly, and she sank to the ground. The Slave Academy had taught her that much. Disobeying meant punishment. Melissa knew that Zahara was at the Slave Academy from time to time to check on her. One wrong word to the trainers there and she'd suffer. She looked up at Zahara, her eyes narrowing.
"Why are you doing this, Zahara? Why did you arrange for me to end up in that brutal academy? Why keep me enslaved with Marcus? What do you get out of it?"
Zahara stepped closer, looking down at Melissa with hard, dark eyes.
"You don't understand. You've never had to. Everything I have, I earn through effort. But you didn't earn anything. You're a pretty white girl. That's all it took for you to get our Beck."
Melissa's breath caught, and she shook her head.
"Our Beck? That's what this is about. He chose me. I didn't plan it or fight for it. It just happened."
Zahara's face tightened, her voice cold.
"Indeed. With Abek, you had an unfair advantage with him. So I used one too. All is fair in love and war, don't you know?"
Melissa clenched her hands on her thighs, her voice rising, sharp and steady.
"So, this is what it's all about? You're angry because I'm prettier than you?"
Zahara crouched down, meeting Melissa's eyes.
"Well, you're not just pretty, but you're also naive. I learned as a child to be vigilant, to sense danger early on, to stay ready. You never learned that. You have got all that education, but you do not know how to spot a threat. That is why you are a slave now, not because of me."
Melissa's eyes widened as a memory clicked.
"You sound like Zuri. She said strength is all that matters here. That's how you think too, isn't it?"
Zahara stood up, a small smile on her lips.
"You mean the ability to survive and to fight. I'm sure Zuri understands that. She's from here after all. And you don't get very far here if you haven't learned this. But these things don't just matter here. It is the same everywhere. The mighty set the rules, Melissa, and that's how it's always been. Your books full of lofty ideas blind you to how the world really works."
Melissa swallowed hard, her voice firm.
"So, you think me being a slave is right? Just because I wasn't raised with your values?"
Zahara's eyes narrowed, sharp and cold.
"Right. Number. It's not about your precious values. It's about who comes out on top. The strong rule, the weak serve. That's what I've seen."
Melissa cut in, voice tight.
"And I am weak because I did not grow up learning what you did?"
Zahara's lip curled, a bitter edge creeping in.
"You did not have anyone worth a damn. I learned early to smell trouble, to fight for what is mine. Your people did not toughen you up. They just sent you to schools with fairy tales about fairness, not how to fight and stand up for yourself."
Melissa's jaw clenched.
"They gave me skills. Reading, thinking, that's something."
Zahara leaned in with an expression as if almost pitying her.
"Skills? Sure, they taught you tricks, but not to stand on your own. No one showed you how to watch your back or fight for yourself. You're raised to be a tool for others to use, always leaning on some boss or cop to keep you safe. That's why you're kneeling here now."
Melissa's breath hitched, anger flaring.
"You think it's all about looks? Arbeck saw something in me. Something real, not just a pretty face you can sneer at. And those tricks you mock, they let me see through bullshit like yours. Strength isn't everything. You're mighty. Just stomp on whoever's down and call it winning. I'm not a tool. I'm not weak. I'm still here despite you."
Zahara straightened, voice a low whip crack.
Worship.
Melissa's eyes blazed, defiance surging.
You're not a god to bow to. You're just a bully with a grudge.
Her words lashed out, sharp and raw, but her hands shook, the academy's conditioning gnawing at her, the threat of punishment a cold grip on her spine. Zahara's stare turned to steel, unyielding.
Worship! Now!
Melissa's chest heaved, fury flared, but she was a slave, and disobedience meant pain. She bent into worship before Zahara, hands sliding to the floor, forehead pressing into the dirt as resentment burned. Zahara pulled her phone from her pocket, her eyes still fixed on Melissa's bowed form.
Simba's milk hut. It's Zahara. Can I drop Melissa off for an extra shift?
A pause, then a nod.
Good. She'll be there soon.
She hung up, turning to Melissa.
Where does Marcus keep the handcuffs and the leash?
Melissa's forehead stayed pressed to the ground, her voice tight.
Draw. His nightstand. Both are there.
Fetch them,
Zahara ordered. Melissa rose, grabbed the cuffs and the leash from Marcus's room, and handed them over.
Turn away, hands on your back,
Zahara said. Melissa complied and looked up at the wall while Zahara snapped the cuffs on her wrists, the steel biting her skin.
Turn around and face me,
Zahara said, her tone clipped. Melissa shuffled around, her eyes flickering with resentment as she met Zahara's gaze.
Now look up.
Melissa tilted her head back, exposing her collar, and Zahara stepped in close, attaching the leash with a quick, practiced snap to the metal ring. As Zahara turned to grab her bag, Melissa shifted, a sudden pressure in her bladder making her stiffen.
I need to pee,
she said, voice low. Zahara's head snapped back, eyes narrowing.
You don't tell me anything, slave. You ask permission. Try again.
Melissa's jaw clenched, heat rising in her cheeks.
Can I use the bathroom?
She muttered, the words sour on her tongue. Zahara smirked.
Of course, but slaves don't get to use the same facilities as free people. That would not be hygienic. You use the squat loose outside. Come on.
She tugged Melissa's leash, leading her out the door to a row of rough concrete stalls in the yard. Melissa twisted slightly, pulling her shoulders back to show the handcuffs binding her wrists behind her, then looked at Zahara.
Can you take these off so I can pee?
That's not necessary,
Zahara said, tone flat.
Slaves manage. Squat.
Melissa's eyes locked on Zahara's, a silent demand flickering. Turn away, give me something. But Zahara stood still, arms crossed, offering nothing. Melissa held the stare, anger simmering, then squatted awkwardly, hands pinned behind her. She broke eye contact, focusing downward, and let go, the sound sharp against the concrete. When she finished, she stood, glancing up. Zahara wasn't even watching. Her gaze had drifted to the street instead, bored.
Let's go,
Zahara said, pulling her up by the chain. They walked, Melissa's bare skin prickling under the sun. Her bare feet shuffled over the rough path, wincing as a sharp stone jabbed her sole, while Zahara's shoes crunched steadily ahead. Zahara tugged the chain.
Slaves don't walk like that. Head down. Eyes on the ground.
Melissa's face tensed, but she lowered her head, gaze dropping to the dirt, steps slow. She sidestepped a jagged pebble, the leash pulling taut as she veered slightly, forcing her back in line. Zahara nodded.
Good. I can't believe you haven't learned this yet after all these weeks at the Slave Academy. Marcus is too easy on you.
They walked, the sun warm on Melissa's bare skin, her collar glinting as Zahara led her down the dusty path. Melissa's toes curled against the hot dirt, dodging a cluster of stones while Zahara walked over them without a thought. After a while, Zahara glanced at her.
Why'd you give Marco such a hard time?
Melissa's lips tightened. Her wrists jerked against the handcuffs, the steel biting as she strained to move her arms, then dropped with a frustrated huff.
He's the one keeping me enslaved. It's his fault I'm still a slave. He could free me any time. End this nightmare.
Zahara snorted.
He's your master. In Grabesh, you could have worse, much worse. Marcus has feelings for you. You know that.
But I don't have feelings for him.
Melissa shot back, her voice sharp. She yanked at the cuffs again, wanting to cross her arms, her shoulders tensing as they stayed pinned behind her. Zahara's eyes narrowed.
A slave doesn't lie. I read Safina's interview transcript. You said he'd be a good fit for you. Don't pretend otherwise.
Melissa's steps faltered, but she held firm. Her bare feet hit jagged dirt, making her wince, but the leash kept her from slowing as Zahara marched on.
Maybe I said that. Doesn't mean I feel anything for him.
Zahara stopped, turning to face her, voice low and cutting.
You could have used these feelings to your advantage. He loves you. You could have shown him a sign, played along, and he'd have freed you. He was waiting for that.
Melissa's eyes flashed, her hands twisted in the cuffs, straining to gesture as her voice rose.
I shouldn't have to fake feelings just to get free. That's wrong.
Zahara's smirk tightened.
Wrong. You said earlier it's not right that you're enslaved, but now you won't do what it takes to fight for your freedom. You'd rather stay a slave than do what it takes to regain it.
Melissa's gaze sharpened, her voice cutting through the heat. She tugged hard at the handcuffs, the metal clanking as she leaned forward, desperate to jab a finger at Zahara.
What it takes? You mean live a lie, choke down my disgust, and fake love for Marcus just to trick him into freeing me? That's disgusting. I won't do that. I've got some damn integrity, unlike you. That's why Arbeck picked me, Zahara. Not because I'm white or pretty, but because I'm not a scheming snake who'd stab him in the back.
Zahara's hand snapped the chain tight, a sharp pull that made Melissa's collar dig into her neck, forcing her head to lurch forward. Her smirk faltered as she stepped in close, voice dropping to a low growl. Her shoes planted firm, kicking dust onto Melissa's bare feet as she loomed.
Integrity? That's your excuse? You're too good to play dirty, and look where it's got you, cuffed and headed to the milk bar.
Melissa's jaw tightened, her bare feet planting firm as she glared up. As they continued their walk, she shifted to avoid a sharp rock. The leash jerked taut as Zahara held her in place, and her wrists yanked against the cuffs in fury.
Yeah, you schemed. Got me into that hellhole academy for weeks. You manipulated Marcus from being a lovesick guy into my damn jailer. You pushed him to send me there, where they toughened him up and subjected me to endless slave drills. And what has it got you? Arbeck's not yours, is he? All that plotting, and he's still fighting for me, not you. Your backstabbing didn't win him. It just proved why he never wanted you.
Zahara's eyes flared, and she yanked the chain hard, dragging Melissa forward a step, the sudden pull making her stumble, barefoot, over a rough patch, a hiss escaping her lips. Zahara's eyes flickered, her usual sharp smirk faltering for a moment. She let out a slow breath, her voice dropping, almost like she was talking to herself.
Maybe I was wrong to want him in the first place.
Melissa's brow furrowed, caught off guard.
What's that supposed to mean?
Zahara's gaze shifted to the side, her fingers idly tracing the chain in her hand.
Back in England, Abek was impressive. Grew up there, had everything going for him. Success, charm, control. I had a crush on him, I'll admit it. He seemed like the kind of man who'd be fun to be with.
She paused, her lips pressing into a thin line.
But here, in Grabesh, he's different, irrational, impulsive.
Melissa tilted her head, studying Zahara's face.
You mean because he's fighting for me?
Zahara met her eyes, her expression a mix of frustration and reluctant admiration.
Yes, and no. I like that about him at first, his loyalty to you. It's rare seeing a man so passionate and risk so much for his woman, but the way he does it...
She shook her head.
He's got no sense of the consequences. Trying to free you from Marcus like that, losing control, it was rash. And then today, assaulting Marcus while he's on parole, he's landed himself in jail twice now, Melissa. He might even get prison time.
Melissa's stomach knotted, but her voice stayed firm.
He's doing it because he believes in something. That's more than you can say with all your schemes.
Zahara's jaw clenched, but she didn't bite back right away.
Maybe. But belief doesn't keep you free. In England, he looked like he had it together. Here, where it matters, he's falling apart. Loyalty is one thing, but throwing everything away for it, that's no strength. It's a flaw, and I don't want a man with flaws like that.
Melissa's lips curled into a faint, bitter smile.
So you're giving up on him? Just like that?
Zahara shrugged, her tone hardening again.
I'm rethinking him. I wanted the Abek from England, the one who was fun and seemed to be on top of things, not this reckless fool who can't stay out of a cell. He's not worth it if he can't keep himself together.
Melissa straightened, her shoulders squared, despite the chain around her wrists.
He's worth it to me. He's not afraid to fight for me, flaws and all. You wouldn't get that. You'd rather scheme behind everyone's back than face a real fight.
Zahara's eyes narrowed, and she yanked the chain hard, making Melissa stumble forward, her bare feet scraping the dirt.
Listen, you cocky little brat. I don't need to fling myself into every brawl like your precious Abek. His big hero, Ak, just got him arrested.
Melissa tried to find her balance, her bare feet scrambling to steady herself as she glared at Zahara.
Arrested or not, he's still fighting for me. You've got Marcus and you have me leashed, but Arbeck's fighting for me, not you. That's what's gnawing at you, isn't it? You're scared he'll never pick your side.
Zahara's grip on the chain tightened, and she gave it another sharp tug, pulling Melissa closer.
Scared? Hardly. He can fight for you all he wants. Doesn't change the fact he's rotting in a cell. Being loyal doesn't help him, or you. You're both idiots if you think it'll get you out of this.
Melissa's breath quickened. Zahara's jab at Arbeck's arrest hit hard, but that strain in her voice, anger or uncertainty, stood out to Melissa, a subtle admission of vulnerability, perhaps. She gritted her teeth, readying herself as they pressed on. Zahara turned and kept walking, her shoes crunching over the path, while Melissa trailed, dodging stones. They reached the milk bar, its shutters still down, the street hushed except for faint voices in the distance.
Neil,
Zahara said, her tone flat as she pointed to the bicycle racks by the door. Melissa dropped to her knees, the rough ground biting into her skin. Zahara locked Melissa's chain to the rack, then tossed the keys into the milk bar's letterbox with a faint clatter.
Marcus was a mess before I stepped in. Soft, indecisive. He would still be offering you freedom in exchange for love if I hadn't pushed him to act. See you later,
Zahara said, turning to walk away, her steps brisk and unhesitating. Melissa's eyes widened, panic surging as she yanked at the chain, the metal digging into her collar. Her voice broke through, sharp with desperation.
What? You're just going to leave me here like this?
Her wrists strained against the handcuffs, the steel biting into her skin, her naked body fully exposed to the street. She felt the weight of every passing glance, some curious, some leering, her vulnerability a raw ache as she realized she was at the mercy of any passerby. Zahara paused, glancing back over her shoulder, her expression cold and unyielding.
You're waiting for your milk bar shift. This is where you belong.
She took another step, dismissing Melissa's plea with a casual wave of her hand. Melissa's heart pounded, frustration boiling over as she tugged harder at the cuffs, her shoulders burning with the effort. Her voice rose, edged with helplessness.
Can you at least uncuff my hands? Please, I can't even move like this.
Zahara turned fully now, her lips curling into a faint, mocking smile.
You don't need your hands while waiting for your milk bar shift, slave. Stay still and behave. That's your job.
Her tone was sharp, cutting through Melissa's plea like a blade, leaving no room for argument. Melissa's breath hitched, her glare burning with fury and fear as she shifted on her knees, the rough ground scraping her skin. The uncertainty gnawed at her. She didn't even know how long she'd be left like this, exposed and defenseless. Her voice trembled, a mix of anger and dread.
How long will I be chained here? You can't just leave me like this. Who knows what could happen?
Zahara's smile faded, her eyes narrowing with impatience as she adjusted her bag on her shoulder.
Someone will come later to use you. Stop whining. You're a slave, not a free person. You still think you deserve freedom, don't you? Looks like you need more time at the Slave Academy to learn your place.
She turned away again, her shoes crunching on the dirt path as she walked off without a glance back, her figure receding into the distance. Melissa glared after Zahara's retreating figure, then leaned back, testing the chain that tethered her to the bike rack. It pulled taut against her collar, the metal biting into her skin as she strained, her shoulders burning with the effort. The chain held fast, unyielding, and with a frustrated huff, she slumped against the bar, the cool steel pressing into her bare back. Passersby moved past her. Some gawked openly, others averted their eyes, her nakedness and restraints a public exhibit she couldn't escape. Trapped and exposed, her anger simmered, a slow boil beneath her skin. The sun rose higher, its heat searing her bare shoulders, sweat trickling down her spine and pooling at the base of her neck. Her throat scratched with thirst, each swallow a dry rasp, but the chain kept her pinned, unable to reach for relief. The handcuffs gnawed at her wrists, the steel edges digging in after hours of immobility, her arms stiff and throbbing behind her back. She tried to shift, to ease the ache, but the cuffs tightened with every move, a relentless irritation that made her grind her teeth. Time crawled by, measured in the shuffle of Grabesian life around her. A woman in a vibrant skirt laughed with a friend, her freedom a stark contrast to Melissa's chains. Envy stabbed at her, sharp and fleeting. A fisherman passed, his gaze lingering too long before he muttered and moved on. Then two children darted by, chasing a ball, their shouts piercing the air. They stopped short when they spotted her, their wide eyes brimming with curiosity. The girl, her hair in tight braids, stepped closer and ran a small hand along Melissa's arm, petting her like a stray animal. Melissa tensed, her jaw clenching. I'm not your damn toy, she wanted to snap. But she swallowed it, her glare burning into the dirt. The boy giggled, patting her shoulder, before they scampered off, their laughter fading into the street. Her legs ached, pins and needles prickling up her thighs, from sitting too long in one position. With a grimace, she shifted awkwardly, the handcuffs making it difficult to move. She scraped her knees against the rough ground as she adjusted from kneeling to sitting, but the small relief was worth the effort. She shot a venomous look at the letterbox where Zahara had tossed the keys. The thirst, the cuffs, the relentless heat, they clawed at her, each moment stoking her frustration. She wanted to scream, to tear the chain free, but all she could do was wait. At last, Dimitri swaggered into view, his lanky frame cutting through the crowd, a smirk already twisting his lips. Nadine trailed behind, her bare feet dragging in the dust, a chain leash clipped to her collar and taut in Dimitri's grip. Her wrists were cuffed behind her, shoulders slumped, her flushed face a mask of exhaustion and shame as she avoided the stares of onlookers. The sight of her, leashed like a dog, twisted something in Melissa's chest, a mix of pity and recognition.
"Heard you signed up for overtime, huh?"
he snickered, his juvenile glee grating on her nerves.
"Gotta keep those jugs busy. Milk doesn't squeeze itself."
Dimitri stopped in front of Melissa, tugging at her leash and frowning when it didn't budge. He crouched, inspecting the lock with a puzzled grunt.
"Where's the damn key?"
he muttered, scratching his head. Melissa's eyes narrowed, her voice cutting through the air like a blade.
"Zahara left them in the letterbox, you idiot."
Her wrists strained against the cuffs, the ache flaring as she tugged, her body screaming to move. Dimitri's head snapped up, his smirk vanishing as his eyes narrowed.
"What did you call me, slave?"
Before she could react, his hand shot out, fingers seizing her left breast, pinching the tender flesh with a cruel twist. The pain was immediate, a searing jolt that made her gasp, her sensitive breast throbbing under his grip. Lactation had already made it swollen and tender, and now the pressure sent a sharp, burning ache through her. Instinctively, she tried to jerk her hands forward to shield herself, but the handcuffs held her arms fast behind her back, the steel biting into her wrists as she strained helplessly against them. Her face flushed a deep red, anger and frustration boiling over at her own helplessness. Disciplined like this by some teenager who'd been put in charge of her. A few drops of milk squirted from her nipple, splattering onto Dimitri's fingers. A couple more dripping to the dusty ground below. Dimitri blinked, then grinned, lifting his hand to inspect the milky droplets on his fingers. He licked them off with a casual swipe of his tongue, smacking his lips.
"Not bad,"
he said, his tone mocking as he glanced at the drops on the ground.
"Shame to waste it like that, though."
He twisted her breast a little harder, his voice dropping to a taunt.
"Uncle Vic says slave girls need to have good manners. Say it right. Try again."
Melissa's jaw clenched, fury flashing in her eyes, her cheeks still burning with rage at her trapped state. But the pain forced her compliance.
"Zahara left them in the letterbox, sir,"
she bit out, her voice tight with resentment, the words tasting like ash. Dimitri released her, laughing as he stood.
"That's better. See? Not so hard."
He turned to the milk bar door, his keys jangling as he unlocked it with a casual twist, swinging the door open with a flourish. The letterbox built into the door had dropped the keys inside, and they lay on the floor just beneath the slot, glinting in the dim light. Dimitri stepped in, dragging Nadine behind him by her leash, her bare feet scuffing the threshold. He bent down, scooped up the keys, and strolled back to Melissa, Nadine trailing silently as her leash tugged in his grip. Dangling the keys in front of Melissa's face, he grinned.
"Miss me, princess?"
Melissa's eyes narrowed, her voice cutting through the air like a blade.
"Just unchain me, you creep."
Her wrists strained against the cuffs, the ache flaring as she tugged, her body screaming to move. "I'm not your puppet, Dimitri," she thought, her jaw tight, "and I'm sure as hell not Marcus's." Dimitri's grin vanished, his eyes flashing with irritation as he stepped closer, his voice dropping to a low, mocking growl.
"What's that, slave? Forgot your manners again?
His hand darted out, fingers clamping onto her right breast this time, pinching harder than before, the pressure excruciating against her already tender, lactating flesh. A fiery pain shot through her, worse than the first time, her breast throbbing as if it might burst, and she flinched, a choked cry escaping her lips. She instinctively tried to pull her hands forward to shield herself, but the handcuffs yanked her arms back, the steel digging deeper into her wrists as she strained helplessly, trapped and powerless. Her face burned a deeper red, fury and frustration, surging at being disciplined again by this teenager, her helplessness a bitter pill. A few more drops of milk squirted out, some landing on Dimitri's fingers, others dripping to the ground in small white splashes. Dimitri glanced at his hand, the milk glistening on his fingers, and smirked. A few drops had fallen to the ground, and he shook his head, his tone sharp with annoyance.
You're wasting good stuff, slave. Better not make a habit of it.
He tightened his grip on her breast, his fingers still pinching her nipple hard, the pressure unrelenting as he twisted slightly, sending fresh waves of pain through her.
I just taught you this. Come on, say it right. Uncle Vic don't like rude girls.
Melissa's glare burned, her fury barely contained, her cheeks flaming with rage at her trapped state. But the searing pain in her nipple made her squirm, her body twisting against the chain as she fought the urge to cry out. Her voice broke, a raw, pained plea torn from her throat.
Unchain me, sir. Please, I'm begging you, stop.
She pleaded, her voice shaky and raw, the words spilling out in a rush of helpless surrender as she strained against the cuffs, her wrists burning with the effort, her trapped state fueling her desperate cry, her anger a quiet undercurrent in her forced compliance. Dimitri's smirk widened, and he finally released her nipple, chuckling as he shook his head.
That's more like it. You're a slow learner, huh?
He licked the milk off his fingers with a slow, deliberate swipe, his eyes glinting with amusement.
Still not bad,
he said, before unlocking the chain from the rack with exaggerated slowness. He yanked the leash, pulling her to her feet, her legs unsteady after hours of confinement. He led her into the milk bar, Nadine shuffling behind, her leash still in his hand. Inside, he linked their collars with a short chain, locking them together.
There,
he said, his tone dripping with mockery.
Two peas in a pod. Can't have you running off now, can we?
Melissa rolled her eyes, her patience fraying, while Nadine shifted beside her, the chain clinking faintly. Dimitri uncuffed their wrists, freeing their hands.
All right, slaves, get moving. Chairs down. Guests need somewhere to sit.
But Melissa had other priorities. Her throat burned with thirst, and without a word, she made a beeline for the nearest water tap, dragging Nadine along by their linked collars. She turned on the faucet, cupped her hands under the cool stream, and drank deeply, the water soothing her parched throat. Nadine followed suit, their shared relief palpable. Melissa and Nadine set to work, unstacking chairs from the tables and placing them on the floor, their movements stiff and deliberate. Melissa's hands trembled slightly, the ache in her wrists lingering, her mind heavy with the weight of this place. She wasn't a person here, just a tool, her milk a product, her labor expected. Marcus calls this love, she thought, scorn twisting her lips. He's not saving me, he's using me. A low rumble sounded outside, growing louder, and Dimitri's head snapped toward the door.
Main event's here,
he muttered, stepping out. Melissa and Nadine paused, the growl of an engine filling the air. Through the doorway, an off-road buggy rolled into sight, dust swirling around its tires. Behind it creaked a livestock cart, its wooden slats rattling, carrying a dozen naked women packed tight. Their black skin gleamed with sweat, collars shining in the sunlight, chains linking them to a central line bolted to the frame. Young and fit, they met the milk bar's grim standards, their beauty a cruel irony in their captivity. The owner, a stocky Grabesian in a stained shirt, leaped from the buggy, barking orders.
Out, slaves! Line up!
The women filed down a ramp, chains clanking, forming a row beside the bar. Their faces were blank, worn by routine, though a few cast fleeting glances at Melissa and Nadine, their eyes glinting with shared understanding. Melissa's stomach churned, horror at the other women's enslavement, dread of her own continued captivity, but also a spark of defiance. We're all caught in this, she thought, straightening her spine. But I won't let them own me. Marcus can chain me all he wants. I'll never bend. Her jaw set, her gaze hard. Dimitri strolled back in, his grin sharp as a knife.
Showtime, slaves. Let's see what you're worth today.